Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yanks, Giants, Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I'm your host, Don. I want to thank you for tuning in. Today I'll be discussing the Yankees sweeping the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend and other Yankee odds and ends. And also the Rangers fall to the Boston Bruins Saturday afternoon 3-1. So let's go ahead and get started. Today I'm going to go ahead and talk about the Yanks, some odds and ends. And we'll start with this most recent weekend where the Yanks swept the Cleveland Guardians this weekend. The Cleveland Guardians are the Cleveland Indians who have a new name. The Yanks' excellent pitching continued over the weekend. I'm actually starting to believe this pitching is good. You know, after a week or two, it's hard to know what's real and what's not, right? Because it's early in the season. And even now, it's still April, but there's 15, 16 games in the bank now, and the Yanks pitching looks for real. It's very, very impressive, and we're going to have to see going forward what it looks like. There's obviously question marks about Cole, maybe Severino too, but the relief in general, except for Chad Green, has been great, and the rest of the starters have been money. It looks like a very big and important strength for the team, since certainly hitting is so far a giant weakness. So maybe they can continue, you know, pitching well, especially the starters, and that would be great. Honestly, Talion, Montgomery, and Cortes, believe it or not, have been fabulous this year. Just friggin' great. Unbelievable. Nestor Cortes has developed into probably my favorite Yankee at this point. Maybe second behind DJ, but really right up there. He's just a joy to watch. Boy, if you don't like Nestor Cortes, man, I don't know what you're watching. The guy is just spectacular. Some odds and ends from this weekend, and talk right about nasty Nestor Cortes. Another brilliant, brilliant pitching outing on Saturday, and you might have seen highlights from that awesome dive into first base when somebody grounded a pitch to deep first base and Rizzo tossed it to Nestor, who was running full speed and did a head first dive and reached with his glove and barely beat the runner, maybe to first, and got the out. I mean, Nestor Cortes is someone that I will tune into the Yankee game just to watch him. There are very few Yankees that I care about enough to do that, but when Nestor is pitching, nasty Nestor Cortes, I'll probably tune in. Just, he's got flair, he's got personality, he got an awesome pitching style, and he's great to watch. And just more than that, he's spectacularly effective. He's really, 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 really effective. Other odds and ends for the Yanks. IKF, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, had a clutch tying double late Saturday with two outs and two strikes in the bottom of the ninth, and the Yanks down one. IKF hit a double off the left field wall. It was huge. What a clutch hit. He's been hitting tremendously well over the last 2 weeks, and he's hitting over 300 now and seems to be just what we need at shortstop. Someone that plays good defense, someone that can run, steal bases. He makes contact. He doesn't strike out, and he actually seems clutch. He hits the ball the other way, which we have, you know, maybe two or three people total on the whole team that can do that. Really, really happy to have IKF on the team right now. Saturday's game against the Guardians ended with a great walk-off clutch right field hit by Gleyber Torres, which was immediately overshadowed by some disgusting fans throwing beer cans and stuff on the field at the right fielder and the Guardians players as the game ended. So what was supposed to be a celebratory moment for the Yanks turned into a disgusting, shameful display by the fans. Those fans need to be ejected, banned for life from the stadium. It's just a terrible, awful look for the Yankees and for fans, and it makes everyone look bad. And worse than that, even, you didn't really even get to enjoy what was a great moment for the Yankees. They were one strike away from losing when IKF doubled off the left field wall, and then a couple minutes later, Torres drives in the winning run, and they win 5-4 in the bottom of the ninth. But 10 seconds later, everyone stops and runs out to right field. They're supposed to be pouring water over Torres, celebrating, but instead, they're telling fans to stop throwing crap on the field. And it's just, it was a terrible look, and it's something that cannot happen. Now, that said, and it's no excuse, but if you saw the video before that, there was a Cleveland Guardian right fielder, I forget his name, Straw something, that was getting in the fans' faces. He actually went and climbed up the right field fence and was face-to-face with a fan in right field, literally like 1 foot, his face from the other guy's face, screaming at the fans. And whatever he said must have angered them, and maybe that's why they retaliated. And obviously, no matter what the guy said, you know, the Cleveland Guardian guy, you cannot be throwing stuff on the field ever. It's just ridiculous. But as a player, you cannot be doing that, dude. You cannot be climbing fences and putting your face to someone else's face and screaming at them, because fans are fans. Whatever they're doing, they're going to do it all day long, and they're going to do it twice as hard next time. Got to have thicker skin than that. Whatever the hell the fans were doing, just let it go. You can't be jumping up on fences and getting in fans' faces. That was stupid by the Guardians right fielder. But stupid or not, you cannot be throwing shit on the field. I mean, that's just friggin' embarrassing and dumb by the Yankee fans. And I'm embarrassed to be a Yankee fan now with that horse shit. They got to stop that. Other odds and ends. Chad Green. Green is not reliable as a reliever in my mind anymore. And it's not anything new. It's been about 2 seasons now in my mind that he has not been very good. Last year, it was a train wreck for him. He was just, it wasn't even a discussion. He was just terrible, terrible, terrible. And I know that his stats weren't overly bad, but please, it seemed like every other game he came in, he blew the game. And it just was really hard to watch, and it's looking like it's continuing this year. He was the only bad pitcher in that Saturday effort, where Nestor Cortes was spectacular. Green gave up the lead. Every other pitcher was great, but Green was not. In any case, he would be one of the few pitchers on the Yanks right now that I do not have any confidence in at this point. And it's not a recent phenomenon, as I said. This is going back maybe almost 2 years where you just don't know what you're going to get out of him. Sometimes he looks tremendous for long stretches, and then, you know, you don't know. So him and, honestly, I would say Chapman too. Him and Chapman, I don't know what we're going to get out of. Other odds and ends. DJ LeMahieu continuing his awesome hitting, looking tremendous both offensively and defensively. He plays great second base, great third base when he gets moved around by the moron Boone manager. He's hitting great again. He had 3 more hits on Sunday afternoon against the Guardians, including a 2-run homer, 3 more ribbies. He had a double. He's playing his normal great self. Gallo continues to blow balls. He actually got his first RBI of the friggin' season on Sunday afternoon against Cleveland. First RBI of the friggin' season, right? 16 games in the season, he now has 1 ribby. Raise the flag. Woohoo. I'm sure that Boone, and I can't listen to him anymore, in the post-game press conference and probably touting, oh, yes, he's great swings. Look at him. He's coming around. He's so close. By the way, he had 3 more strikeouts on Sunday, so he got a ribby. It was a double down the right field line, but he had 3 more strikeouts. So he deserves to be booed at the plate, and he deserves to not be on this team. We cannot be winning championships or anything close to it with people like Gallo on the team. You just can't. You just can't. And I don't care if he ends up hitting his wonderful career average 205 or 210, which would be almost double what he's hitting now. It doesn't matter. It's not good enough, and it's too many strikeouts. So enough. Rizzo, tied for the American League in homers, believe it or not, as of Sunday. He's got 5 homers already this year. He's hitting pretty well. Not particularly great average-wise, but he's only down a 240 or something, maybe a little higher. But 5 homers already. Very impressive. And he continues to play just outstanding, excellent defense. Although I got to say, I'd like to see him hustle a little bit more. I don't see when he hits the ball, and it may or may not be a homer, or it may or may not be a double, his ass is pretty slow getting out of that damn box. I want to see a little more grit and determination from him running, particularly from home to first. He's not really setting a great example, and that's pissing me off. Other than that, Rizzo is great. I really do like Rizzo. Josh Donaldson looks like he's old, and he can't hit anymore. I don't know what to say other than that. He's playing a decent third base, nothing special at all. Certainly not better than Urshela was. He is not hitting at all. I think he said, I don't even know, 170, 180, some ridiculous number. Might even be lower than that. But he looks terrible, and that trade is looking terrible. I mean, right now I will take Urshela back in a second. Now I want Sanchez gone, so that part of the trade can go. But not having Urshela but having Donaldson is not looking like any upgrade whatsoever at this point. Other odds and ends to talk about with the Yankees. Jordan Montgomery is the overlooked pitcher of the century for the Yanks, it seems. He has been sort of under the radar, pitching outstanding, game after game after game after game. There was a stat I saw yesterday where Montgomery has now given up one run or less in 11 of his last 15 friggin' starts. Think about that. One run or less. This is not three runs or less. Anything. One or zero, right? In 11 of 15 starts. That is beyond remarkable. That goes back to like last July or something. And with, if you figure in three runs, it's something like 18 of his last, I don't know, 20 or 22. Like just, he's been pitching insanely well. The Yankees have a knack for not scoring any runs when he pitches going back to last year. So his wins and losses aren't great, but he has remarkably, remarkably good ERA and other stats other than wins and losses because, you know, for whatever reason, the Yanks don't score. But with all the other pitchers on the team, no one seems to look at Montgomery or talk about him or care about him. But he has been a consistent, reliable starter now for well over a year and beyond decent. That one run or less, 11 of 15 starts. That's pretty damn good. Last odds or ends, I guess. Let's see. Tim LeCastro. I'm not sure why, but I like him. There's something about him. He made that great diving catch, right? About a week ago in left field, that spectacular diving catch. He has great speed. He had a homer on Sunday. I don't know. He just, sometimes you can just feel things about players. I can't put my finger on him. I don't know if he's a great, you know, hitter or what he can do, but I like his speed. I like his defense. And honestly, if you give me any blank player and tell me he has speed and he plays good defense, I will probably like him. So maybe that's what it is. But in any case, he's a player that I'm glad is on the team, and I hope they keep him because he's someone that I think is the type of player that we need to have on this team. And that's all I'll say about that. In general, the Yanks have, you know, sucked less lately. So, you know, hey, that's something. Something to hang our hats on. So that's the Yankee odds and ends. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the Rangers now. The Rangers lost to the Boston Bruins Saturday afternoon, 3-1. It was a road game at the Boston Garden. And that loss pretty much guaranteed that the Rangers will not finish first in the Metropolitan Division, which may or may not be okay. They've already wrapped up, the Rangers have, second place in the Metropolitan, and with that, the home ice advantage that comes with the first or second place finish. They are only 2 points behind Carolina now, but Carolina holds all of the tiebreakers. So in essence, the Rangers are really 3 points behind Carolina in reality. With only 3 games left in the season, it's a pretty sure bet at this point that the Rangers will not pass Carolina. So that may be fine. The Rangers were playing without Kopp and Kako and Hedl, and of course, Mott as well, who will be out for a long time. So the Rangers were short 4 forwards against what is an excellent Boston Bruins team. So not to give an excuse, but it was noticeable. We have to hope we have them all back except Mott, who we know is not going to be back. You know, we have to hope we get the rest of them back by the playoffs and hopefully sooner. Kopp in particular has been really outstanding on that second line along with Panarin and Strome, and not having him was immediately noticeable. Kako's missed a lot of the year, so having him out for the second time kind of sucks. And, you know, Hedl is generally our third line center, and we miss not having 4 different forwards. So having the sort of backups in or whatever, people that have become backups was very noticeable Saturday afternoon in Boston. As far as the game itself, I guess I can go over a little bit of it. It was kind of a pretty hard-nosed game all around, honestly. One of the tougher games in a while the Rangers have played. They haven't played a lot of playoff-bound teams in the last couple weeks, and you could notice the difference immediately. It was kind of a hard-nosed first period, lots of hittings, a few penalties, there was some chippiness, some after-the-whistle pushing, and, you know, it was good for the Rangers to have one of these games because that's how the playoffs are going to be. Boston struck first, you know, with just 15 seconds left in the first period. Now, those are daggers. I hate those goals when, you know, in the last minute of a period, a team scores because it really get you down going into the locker room, gives the other team a high, and, it was 1-0 after the first. And then just a minute into the second period, Boston scored again. It was a breakaway and put the Boston Bruins up 2-0. I was so pleased with Shesterkin's last outing, the one before this, a game where Shesterkin finally looked like he did for most of the season. Giving up these two goals so quickly kind of gave me a bad feeling for a bit about Igor and his ability to continue, playing at this elite legal level as we hit the playoffs. But, he did play well for the rest of the game. I'll give him that for sure. But he gave up the goal with 15 seconds left in the first. And then in the first minute of the second, so it was like less than 1 minute of playing time, Boston scored two goals. And I was starting to have my, second thoughts about it. But it turns out that he rebounded and played very well for the rest of the game. Panarin really wasn't around or noticeable for most of the game. And I mean that in a, metaphorical sense, not a literal sense. He was playing the whole game, but he was kind of nowhere to be found a lot of the game. In the third period, you saw him a little more, but Mika didn't do much. Kreider didn't do much. The Rangers did score on a power play early in the third. They made it 2-1. Mika buried one from just outside the left post. Mika finally started to show up then. But that was really all the Rangers could do, and that was all they would get. And on this day is one goal, one power play goal. Boston added a goal off a rebound later in the third to go up 3-1, and that would end up being the final score. Again, the Rangers missing forwards certainly were evident watching this game. And we'll have to hope that Kopp in particular comes back quickly. The Rangers have three more games this season before the playoffs start. They'll all be home at Madison Square Garden. Their opponent in the first round of the playoffs is yet to be determined. There's still a pretty wide variety of possible opponents, given that there's only three games left, depending on how the rest of the regular season plays out for everyone. The Rangers could finish first or second, and they could play a number of opponents. Certainly, they could play Washington. They could play Pittsburgh. They could play this Boston team. It should be interesting. The key thing at this point is for the Rangers to go into the playoffs healthy. Make sure they have those other three forwards back. I wish they would have Mott back, but that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So what I definitely want is Kopp back, Kako back, and Hedl back, and maybe in a game, or two before the playoffs start, so that's not their first game back. And we want, the Rangers playing well and the Rangers being healthy going into the playoffs. The Rangers actually play the Carolina Hurricanes Tuesday at Madison Square Garden. That's all I have for you today. So thanks for tuning in and listening to Jersey Guy Sports. I want you to please subscribe to the podcast if you like it, and also tell your friends about it and like it. I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks. Have a good day.